When for someone dear I'm praying time and time again. Someone lost in sin and darkness fought my prayers in vain. When I cannot understand and faith begins to wane, teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee. Teach me, Lord, to run with patience. Teach me, Lord, to wait. For Thou know just what is best for me. Teach me, Lord, just how to pray. Renew my strength and faith. Teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee. When a mountain stands before me, mighty and so tall, when I shrink for lack of faith, I pray He take my all. Then in confidence to move, I had no doubt of call. Teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee. Teach me, Lord, to run with patience. Teach me, Lord, to wait. For Thou know just what is best for me. Teach me, Lord, just how to pray. Renew my strength and faith. Teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee. When Thy will in life for me would not be mine by choice, teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee and listen to Thy voice. Then someday I'll understand, before Thy throne rejoice. Teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee. Teach me, Lord, to run with patience. Teach me, Lord, to wait. For Thou know just what is best for me. Teach me, Lord, just how to pray. Renew my strength and faith. Teach me, Lord, to wait on Thee.
Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. He's worthy. That song there, just recently I put it back into my van and I was listening to it over and over and over and over. And that song just blesses me. You know, it teaches us, Lord, to wait on Thee. And teach us, you know. And as I was thinking on that, to teach us to wait on Thee, Lord, and my mind went, you know, to my message here was going to be, teach us, Lord, how to pray. And that's what I'm going to share on here a little bit today. So as I listened to that, I was just blessed again here this past few weeks on that song. But I was already blessed by just sitting here this morning, just by what Sally shared, and Brother Alvin and Leroy. It would have been enough, I think, for us today. But here I am. As Elva shared that, you know, he that endureth till the end shall be saved. And Leroy talked about how Jesus can cleanse us, how He can purify us through repentance and through committing our lives to Him. And then Sally shared on that, on the president, and it's interesting. Last night, someone just showed me a little clip on today. Donald Trump, he says, in my great honor to declare Sunday, March 15th, as a national day of prayer. We are a country that throughout history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. So that's from President. So I was blessed with that. Today is a national day of prayer. And today a little bit I'm going to share on the importance of prayer. My thoughts seem to be a little scattered here this morning, so pray for me here as I plan to share. But just on that, Lord, teach us how to pray. It would be the title today. Maybe most of you have that all figured out. I don't know, but as I see 18 years later after my conversion, I still see a need of more prayer in my life. I don't know. I know that I do spend time in prayer, but and I believe it's one of the greatest essentials in a Christian's life. Is that right? A prayer life? I mean, I believe that, yes, it's important that we read the Word of God, but I believe that a prayer life is really effective. Because, I know for years, I have not always had a prayer life like I should have here recently. But yeah, I do spend time in prayer, but it seems like sometimes the cares of life has a tendency to push out the time that we have for prayer. So I think that's why it's important that we get up early, and I do. There's hours before it's time to get up. I normally get up and spend time in prayer. This one is quiet. Nothing is moving. It's a beautiful time. But then what I'm saying is I see a need. There's sometimes I'll get up, it's pretty early, and I'll find myself all of a sudden hours later waking up. So I have a desire to have a greater devotion life for God. Like I said, I believe that the prayer is one of the greatest essentials in a Christian's life. Just a few, taking a few notes here from E.M. Bounds, just a little devotional book. He said this was the answer of Jesus to the scribes as to what was the first and greatest commandment. In other words, the whole person must love God without reservation. Such a person is required to do the praying that God asks of his children. Just as it's required to have a whole heart given to God to gladly and fully obey God's commandments. So it takes a whole heart to pray effectively. And because it requires a whole person to pray, praying is no easy task. Praying is far more than simply bending the knee and saying a few random words. Praying is divine. Amen? It's the divine point in time to meet with God. And I know at times, sometimes it's empty. As we pray, there's times when things are on our minds, and we try to pray, and it seems like it's empty. So let's have a word of prayer here, then I'll begin a few things here, a few thoughts. Father in heaven, as we do bow here at this time, Lord, we just come before you. I just want to be a vessel before you, Lord, and just want you to share through me today, Lord. On my own words, my own agendas, Lord, it's dead, it's dry. So I just count on you today, Lord, to speak through me and give me strength to share a few things here that you have in your mind, Lord. So I just want to thank you for the brothers and sisters that came today, gathering and just meeting with you here today, Lord. We already been full and blessed and inspired by the word that's already been shared. So thank you for that. So Father, I just want to commit this time to your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see here in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, just right off from the beginning, it says the temptation of the devil. When Jesus led up the spirit, when he was led up in the spirit to the wilderness and tempted of the devil, when he had fasted 40 days, prayed and fasted for 40 days and nights. And I want to put fasting as well in prayer here. So when I talk about prayer, that's also, I believe fasting goes along with prayer. So when the tempter came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made to bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and sent him into the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot up against the stone. Then Jesus said unto them, it is written, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God. And then we see here Jesus says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So I see it's very important as we spent time in prayer, because Satan comes at us throughout the week. He did meet us this morning. He came and tempted me on this message, but I just took it to the Lord. So it's important that we know how to pray, know when to pray. instead of getting discouraged and getting discouraged and getting upset, let's just take it to the Lord. Here we see Jesus here. I see these 40 days of fasting and prayer that it was essential for him when Satan come at him. And he come at him with the words of God. But here Jesus knew how to, he just took the words and shut him down. So just on 3 points here this morning on prayer. First one, the prayer to conquer the giants in our life. Then just the next one, the prayer to have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. And the last one's a little more complicated, and it's prayer to heal one another. Just prayer just on the healing, and I'll explain that later. But to prayer to conquer the giants in our life, I think is very important. But first of all, I want to say, if you're in here living in sin, this is what the Lord said in Isaiah 1. He says, "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yeah, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood." Blood is a sin. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes, cease to do evil." So just if there's some in here that are age accountability and have not, that are rejecting the word of God, that's what he's saying. Your prayers I do not hear. Because your hands are full of blood. If you're living in sin, you are guilty before God. We first need to be connected with Jesus Christ, our Lord, as it talks about there in John 15. I just want to share a little bit on that first, on those that have not surrendered their heart to the Lord, if there's any in here. We need to be connected to the vine before our prayers will reach to the kingdom of God, I feel. I mean, I believe that, yes, when you come to the point when you repent, yes, the Lord opens his heart. But if you're loving your sin that you're in, the Lord, the prayers did not reach the Lord. As he said here in John 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch itself cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, cast forth as a branch and is withered, and a man gather them and cast them to the fire and they are burned." So it's important that we are connected to Jesus Christ, to the vine. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." But there needs to be a connection with Jesus. I encourage you, young men, you are missing out. And I share this probably before, but you're missing out on a relationship with Jesus that is a blessing. To have that true peace of God in the hearts that can pass all understanding, and we have victory to overcome things that Satan brings our way. We can have a clear conscience, but we need to be connected to the vine. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might be remain in you, that your joy might be full." So we need to be connected to the vine. And I just want to share a little bit on how I got connected to the vine before I go on prayer life. I remember, this goes back probably about 17, 18 years ago, when one day I was home alone, and I had some gospel tracks. Actually, they were them cassettes given to me, and I put them in one day in the home all by myself, and I started listening to this this message. And the message was it slipped my mind. "What did God get the day he purchased you?" Yeah, by David Gibbs. I don't know where that message come from. I don't know where it went. But as I was listening to that, and I realized that God didn't get anything from me. So I listened to that, and I got a couple more out, and the conviction was starting up in my heart. I knew that I was not with God. So I remember listening to that one and another one from Abner Kaufman. I don't remember the title of that, but I know what it did in my heart. It started pointing out the sin in my life that I was going to have to deal with, or I would never, never meet God. So I can remember that them. Actually, it took a 2-day period of time over that time, and I started crying out to God. God, I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to connect to God. And all my life, all I prayed was I took a prayer book and I would recite a bunch of words and put it down. That was it. But when I started listening to these here, and the Lord started stirring in my heart, and I know if somebody would have been there with me at that time, I wouldn't have took no 2 days. But anyway, it seemed like it. The second day, I remember crying out to God. I remember reaching my hands, standing up and reaching my hands toward heaven. Thank you. Asking God, I have a need of my, the burden that's on my shoulders needs to go away. I'm a guilty sinner before you. So Lord, help me. I remember reaching out and just crying out to the Lord. And the Lord was faithful. But today I don't have to reach out to God, which I know heaven's up there, but today he's within my breast. I can just say, oh God. Like I heard this past few months ago, God dwells within my breast today. So I praise the Lord for that. So that, with me crying out to the Lord and repenting of my sins and asking Him to lead me and guide me, is how I got connected to the vine. I've been connected ever since. Has there been some challenges? Yes. So, encourage you, if some of you in here that are not connected, find Jesus. Find Him. You'll never regret. So for us as children of God in here, what are some of the giants in our life? I know there's some, I'm going to call them giants. I'm not talking about great big gross sins, because I know them are all been dealt with. But what are some giants in our life today? And I just wrote down some, struggles, talking about some of the things that we struggle with in a Christian life, or if you want to call them sin, whatever it may be. And if you can see inside of me, you can see a few struggles that I have, or you want to call sin. And one of the ones that I've been praying about and struggling with is patience. I can say that I struggle with that. You can ask the guys that I work with, James and Barry and Justin and Brian, or Jaden. I sometimes struggle. I struggle with patience, and I want victory over that. So you can pray for me on that area. But what are some of the others that we're facing here today? You know, I just wrote down, could it be bitterness? Lack of love for one another, pride, covetousness, whatever it may be. Are we seeking to be overcomers? Are we wanting to be overcomers? So as I go through, I just want to share the importance of prayer here just for a little bit on a few counts here. But I know that the power of prayer is the only way, the prayer is the only way to overcome those giants in our life. In Luke 21, a few verses here. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, that you come upon unawares. For as the snares shall come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always. Pray, Jesus says, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which come to pass, and do stand before the Son of Man. So we see here that, as Jesus says, watch and pray. It's important that we watch and pray throughout our day. And just talk about a man from the Old Testament. I think of David in 2 Samuel there. Think about him being an overcomer. Let's just read a few verses of that. He was a man of God. And we've seen what he did. He fell into sin there with Bathsheba. And but we see the thing that allowed David to overcome and go on to be a man after God's own heart was that David he admitted it. He confessed it. He didn't try to hide it, try to deny it. It says when Nathan came up and rebuked David and told David that, you know, you are the man that I'm talking about. And David just, he fell down and he said, oh Lord. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme me. The child also that is born unto you shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house rose and went to him and raised him up in the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell them that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto you, and you would not hearken to your voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child was dead?" Then David saw that his servants whispered, and he said, that David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "Yes, he's dead." And David arose from his earth, washed, anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came down to his own house when he required, and set bread before him, and he did eat. Then I'm going to just stop right there. But we see the life of David from there. You know, and David was a man of prayer. Well, I spoke David. I could take many verses on David spending time and hours in prayer, committing it up to God. So we see here, you know, and I think there's another verse there I was going to read there where it shared about David fasting. Yeah, it says fasting there in prayer. And we see that that's how we overcome the giants in this life is to spend time communing with God. Then another prayer here. You know, oftentimes when we pray and feel like God don't answer and we just stop. But here, in this little devotion here, it says, Moses prayed for 40 days and nights to stop the wrath of God. His example is an encouragement to present day faith in its darkest hour. Elijah repeated his prayer 7 times before the rain clouds appeared in the horizon. During his earthly life, the blessed Savior spent many nights in prayer. In Gethsemane, he presented the same petition 3 times with unshaken. That was Jesus. 3 times he prayed that in Gethsemane on the same thing. Yet submissive persistence, he called on every part of his soul and brought about tears and bloody sweat. Jesus' life victories were all won in hours of persistent prayer. He taught by example the importance of consistent prayer. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So, as Jesus says there in Matthew or Luke, that seek ye shall find, ask it shall be given. I think it was in Matthew. Maybe it's in Luke there. I'll just read that. Luke 11. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give a stone, or he asks a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if you shall ask an egg, will he offer you a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask you? So my encouragement there is asking, not to stop asking in prayer, spending time in prayer. Because we see this persistent lady here in Luke 18, as she was dealing with this ungodly man here. It just blesses me. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city of a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said unto himself, though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Let her, lest by her continue coming, weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge had said. How shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So we see this persistent lady here. I think that we as well need to be more like that persistent lady, just not giving up after the first or second prayer. You know, continue on. He wants us to continue on seeking, being persistent in our life. I believe that's the only way here that we can be overcomers is just continue on seeking the Lord, having a prayer life. And Paul here in Romans, we see here that he said, now I beseech you. He's telling to the church here in Rome, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that not only believe in Judea, that my service would I have Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and me with you refreshed. And it talks about, as I read this, it talks about praying for one another. As Paul says, pray with me, pray for me, that these Judea here would also be saints of God. And I see that need. It's a need that we humble ourselves and ask brothers to pray with us in certain situations. Pray with us, pray for us, or whatever it may be. Let's not be too proud. He also helps us keep us accountable. We ask somebody or share somebody some struggles in our life and say, hey, will you pray for me in this issue? I think it's a blessing. I know early in my Christian life, early on, back 18, 17 years ago when I got born again, I know that time I spent a lot of time in prayer, probably more so than today. And I know it should be the opposite. But I've seen many prayers turn into miracles. Many. It was a faith builder in my life. It was. It was a blessing in my life. Then it seemed like there were several years. Well, I'm sharing this for you, because there were several years then it seemed like I didn't see miracles. I didn't see prayers turning into miracles and all that. And the thing was, is because my prayer life dwindled. And I wasn't spending time in prayer like I did from the beginning. So as I recognize that, yes, my prayer life is not where it needs to be. I remember crying out to the Lord, and that's when I set the time, early morning hour, probably 10 years ago, early morning hour of prayer, and it seemed like it was a blessing. It seemed like all of a sudden I seen prayers being answered, and I seen prayers being turned into miracles, and it was because of my... Oh yeah, I read that. It was because of my lack of devotion to God is why I didn't see those miracles. But today, I pray God that I see the miracles again. And we can share on that. I'll share a little bit on that later. And I believe that prayer is something that it can't be rushed. I don't think we should rush. I believe that when we go into prayer, I think it's important that we do it early in the morning. Or late at night, whenever, when we have plenty of time. Because if we wake up late in the morning and we need to go to work at a certain time, we wake up 30 minutes before we go to work. That's not gonna work. It seems like it's gonna be a hard time pressed to lay down or to kneel down and cry out to God and having plenty of time. But I believe it's important that we set a lot of time for it. And I wrote here again, yes, there's times when I wake up early in the morning, have some beautiful times of prayer. I do. When it's quiet and not rushed. So praise the Lord for that. So I feel that the more we commune with God, the longer we will commune with Him. What I mean commuting is reading. The more we spent time reading, the longer we will spend time in prayer. So prayer life, reading life as well is very important as the children of God. just talk about, you know, the time here when Jesus prayed in the garden. It says he came out and he went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that you enter into not temptation." He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there he appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. It's been an agony, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer, he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. He was sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." He told them disciples, and today we are surrounded by evil. And he would say that today, I believe, that wake up, rise and pray, brethren. We have the enemy attacking over and over. And we see here, you know, so I wrote, you know, how long do we commune? I don't know. I would like to know. This morning I asked my wife for some recipe cards, and I was going to just pass out to each brother in here and have them write it down anonymously, not writing your name on it, and just pass it in. I'd like to know how much time you spent prayer in a day's time. That would have been interesting. I was just going to pass them out, have you write it down, and I would just read some of them off, because it'd just be interesting to know. I believe that our vital signs, I believe, hang on that, the amount of prayer. But I decided not to. But here, anyway, as we've seen Jesus here, he I don't know how long he was praying, but it says all the disciples fell asleep. I don't know if it was because of the length of the time, or if it was early in the morning, or if it was... Maybe it does say. I don't know if it says when that was. But anyway, we've seen he spent a lot of time in prayer. We know Jesus did. And here the disciples fell asleep. But also what I took out of this, it says, and when he was praying, crying out to God, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. What a blessing. Strengthening. And so in time of prayer, if we feel weak, if we feel a need of him, let's pray. Because we've seen an angel come down and strengthen Jesus here. And God will do the same for us today. He does the same thing for us today as those that seek him in prayer. Now I feel we want to be strengthened. Is that right? In our spiritual walk with God, against all the fiery darts that are coming our way in these last days, I see a need to spend more time on my knees before the Lord. I do. I see more time. I see more need. As putting on the whole armor of God, as it says there in Ephesians 6, finding my brethren to be strong in the Lord and the power of the might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How are we to put on the whole armor of God? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So I see here Paul writing this here, you know, putting on the whole armor of God. And I believe that the armor of God, being prepared, comes through your prayer life. But we have an enemy attacking us, as you see around us. This is coronavirus and the fears. And as Sally shared this morning, that was a new thought. I think he shared that yesterday with me. But as the majority of the countries are this dragon. I mean, they despise Trump and the things that he's doing because of Trump, you know, he still claims God in this country. And most of them are atheist countries, and they're pushing out God in all ways. So we do have an enemy at our soul. May our prayers ascend up into heaven as it did there in Revelation 8, in the throne room there. It says that, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with prayers of the saints. It says, it ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angels took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. And I read that. Think about that. Smoke. Smoke. It was incense that came up. It was the prayers of the saints on this earth rising up into this seventh seal. Our prayers are our prayers reaching into the kingdom of heaven? Are they reaching? Are they penetrating past the ceiling? Or are we just reciting a few prayers here and there? Or I just want to challenge us, because I'm challenged at my prayer life. So I'm going to challenge you as well, because I know that it's one of the Satan's greatest tactics is take away prayer time. So my encouragement to us when we are being challenged with the temptation, let's find a quiet place to pray. God will hear. As Acts 16 there, verse 25, we see that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And here, you're talking about when we're in a temptation or being tried or whatever it may be. Let's pray as Paul and Silas. Here they were sitting in the prison, in stocks, and they were innocent. They were just proclaiming the word of God. And here they were praying and worshiping. They prayed and sang songs. And we've seen that God, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the fountains of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keepers of the prison, awakened out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out the sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. So we see here as Paul cried out to the Lord here in prayer, that the Lord met him there. And I know I didn't get very far in using many of those verses in overcoming the giants, but pray you heard my heart here that the prayer life is very important, vital, essential in a Christian life. A few more verses here, then I'm going to go to point number two. If I can find it. Revelation 3. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice, I open the door. I will come unto him, I will sup with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcome and set down my Father in his throne. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit says in the churches. And we see that, he says, as I overcame. And we see that Jesus overcame. And it was by communing and praying and fasting and talking with his Father. So that is my encouragement for us there. Now point number two. Here, I talked about having a few points here over prayer of overcoming the giants, and this one here I think is very important as well. Having a prayer life that gives us a vibrant relationship with Christ, with Jesus, a relationship where it's a prayer of praise and glory. But as I said, we can't have this praise unless we overcome the giants in our life. I don't feel that we can have this vibrant relationship with God if we're living with some of these giants of bitterness and anger or deception or whatever it may be. To have this vibrant relationship as David here had, I'm going to read a few out here in the Old Testament as David. And it blessed me as I read that. Psalm 63, that God satisfies the thirsting soul. And it says, as David was in the wilderness of Judea there, this was David's heart. This was after the sin of Bathsheba and all that. And then David says, I'm going to read 11 verses here in Psalm 63. O God, listen to David's prayer. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see the power and thy glory. So I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because a loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in my night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore in the shadow of my wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth me. He said, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it, it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword that shall be a portion of the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. So we see the prayer of gratitude and praise here. I think that's where our heart and our praise should be. I know that we're going to have times of trials, temptations, maybe even sin in our life. But it should just be for a short time when it comes, repent and deal with it. And this way we can have that true communing as David here did with God. And it blesses me. As I ponder that, yes, there is, we look back and I have nieces and nephews and a relation that have not made a decision to follow Jesus. Unless they repent, they're going to go to hell. I know all that's there as well. But that shouldn't hinder us from that full worship of God. Then Psalms 103, another one. Thanksgiving for God's mercy. David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth the life from destruction, who crowned thee with long kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And when we read that and ponder that, we see the goodness of God. That's our prayers will, and our hearts, our gratitude, our devotion will change. Like unto the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, the days are as grass, as the flowers of the field, so he flourish. But for the wind passeth over, and it is gone, the place thereof you shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep the covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, his kingdom ruleth over. And in David's prayer, blessed the Lord, bless you, Lord. Ye his angels, excel in strength that do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Blessed ye, Lord, all ye hosts, and the ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the places of dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. So as I ponder some of those verses there, what David had there, that vibrant relationship. Let's not stop until we're there. That relationship with God where we can just worship with him and commune and talk with him, just praise him. He is worthy. Like I said, that won't happen if we have giants, or if we have things in our life that's hindering that true worship. When we are free from all sins, we will have that praising heart that David had. And yet, as I shared about that, the burden, as we're free from all the sins, we will have that praising heart as David. Yet, he will put a burden in our hearts when we see the loss. When we see those the gloomy and the heads hanging. It will cause us to want to go to share with them, to tell them that they can be free and to be joyful and have that vibrant relationship with him as well as us. As in Ephesians 5, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another to the fear of God. We won't be able to do that, speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts if we're not right with God. So let's make sure that our hearts are all dealt with, everything is dealt with, and our hearts are turned toward him, that we can have that praising heart as David did throughout his life. David wrote psalm after psalm of that, just praising God. We say, oh, that's David. We as well should have that praising heart. And at times, I'll say I probably lack that as well at times. But it's because of things of this life, things that come up, the materialism. Yeah, I have one verse here I want to read, then I'll go on to the next one. I don't have too much more here. A little bit on the other point. But you are a chosen generation. Yeah, that's the one. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, to be that chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who had called us out of darkness. That's one great reason to lift up our voices and praise him, as he had pulled out of that darkness into the marvelous light. And as we mature as children of God, so we find our victory over the giants, our prayers will be filled with praise and gladness. It says, after these things, this is in heaven, those in heaven praise God. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with fornication, and hath avenged his blood of the servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. A beautiful scene. We had these sitting around the throne. They're just praising God continually, day and night. Then there's a voice that came, it says, came out of the throne. So saying, praise our God, all you servants. It's talking to us today. Let's find praise in our hearts for him. So just a few in the last one here. As I wrote here, just prayers of faith. I wrote a healing there, but it takes faith. And we see here, and I'm not including the prayers of Jesus and his healings there. We know that he raised people from the dead, many there in his life. But just a few here. Men like Paul and some of those that did here, then I'll close on James 5, just a few thoughts on that. But here we see in Acts 28, Paul, it says when he escaped there off of that that boat as they were traveling through the water and they were taken to the island, and Paul was gathering up sticks because they were cold. He laid them on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous snake hung on his arm, they said, surely he's going to die. As long as they watched, it said that he just shook it off and he felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or when he should have fallen down suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds, and they said he was a god. In the same quarters here were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us, lodged us there days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick on a fervor and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in, and he prayed, and he laid hands on him, and he healed him. And when he was done, others came and with diseases in the island, and they were healed. So I know that's we see Paul healing there, healing the sick, and all that. And I ponder, maybe we lack a little bit of faith on that. And I was pondering, but then the end of my message here, I'll close off with a few thoughts on that. So with that, and we've seen that Dorcas was restored to life, Ananias healed, then Acts 5 here says many signs and wonders were done here again by Paul, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were with all one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were the more added to the Lord. And it says, and insomuch they brought forth the sick in the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, lest the shadow of Peter passing by would heal them. And it talks about them praying and laying on hands and healing. Then we come to James 5 here. I'm going to close with that verse. And as I've seen here, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. You know, I was talking about those that are that were sick, and Peter was going by healing them and all that. And sometimes we ponder, why aren't we doing that today? Well, I'm still seeing that today. It's a blessing that God is still answering the prayer of the faithful. And I see it in this congregation. There was many anointings throughout the several last years, I remember. Jerry was just talking to me the other night about that when he had his shoulder, he had some rotator cuffs torn, and anointed him one morning here, and 2 days later it was healed. He had power, he had full strength in his arms, and I could go on like that. I had some things healed in me, and we've seen some other miracles here in the last few months. God is good. But here we see, if any is afflicted, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing songs. If any is sick among you, let him call the elders of the church, and let them pray over him. What is that? I believe it's in here. It says if any is sick, and we wonder why can't we just lay hands on one another? But here it says, I believe here he says, let the pray. If any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was another one. He was just like we are. The writer James is saying, you know, as Elijah did it, so can you. He was just like you guys. He was the same. He had the same passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it not rain on the earth by the space of 3 years. 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So just encouragement, healings are still happening. So let's continue on praying and trusting the Lord. It's the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another. So I was challenged by just my prayer life. It's probably one of the biggest reasons I decided to share on prayer this morning. But my heart is that I can commune in a deeper way with God. My relationship would become more vibrant with Him. And I believe that it's through, yes, we need to understand the Word of God by reading, but I believe it's my lack of prayer life sometimes is hindering me for that full worship that David had there in the Psalms as he went throughout the countryside just praising and worshiping God. So if I shared anything that was not scriptural or anything that's not right, I open myself up to you all and just want to ask the Lord to bless you all.